Good afternoon. You're listening to KTOO. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery. Sea Alaska Heritage Institute is seeking Alaska Native artists to pitch designs for Celebration, the every other year gathering of Indigenous people in Southeast Alaska. The multi-day event takes place in early June. SHI President Kahani Rosita Worrell says this year's theme is Together We Live in Balance, and designs should depict that using Northwest Coast style art.
We need to have both social and spiritual balance to maintain a healthy society.
Worrell says that balance is an important belief in Tlingit culture that goes back thousands of years. An example of that can be seen with the Tlingit moieties of raven and eagle. She says even today, it's essential that a balance is struck between the moieties during gatherings.
When we have someone from a raven clan speak, we have to have balance, and so an eagle has to respond. If we don't do that, our belief is that, you know, the spirits can go wandering and cause harm.
Worrell says SHI is asking artists to encapsulate that balance not only between Alaska Native peoples, but also in the natural world around Juneau. The sketches of proposed concepts are due January 12th, and artists can apply online. The winning artist will receive a cash award, and their work will be featured on all Celebration materials. Cruise tourism is on the rebound in Petersburg, with this year's number of tour boats approaching the town's record season in 2007. The industry is building back from the pandemic and the 2008 financial crisis, and local restaurateurs are enjoying the extra business. But it's a double-edged sword for those who are having trouble keeping up with demand. For Coast Alaska's Tourism Today series, KFSK's Shelby Herbert takes a look at how more visitors are putting pressure on Petersburg's supply chain.
Guylin Etcher is foaming milk for a latte at a coffee shop in Petersburg. She's the owner of Glacier Express Cafe on the town's main drag. The spot is known for hot drinks and homemade burritos that sell out fast. It's located right across from the town's North Harbor and attracts a lot of tourists. Etcher says her business enjoyed a very profitable summer.
Actually, this summer was the best summer that I've seen. Since COVID, I feel like the first year or two were pretty awful, but I feel like since then it's been really good in the summer.
But in the off-season, things are starkly different. Local customers aren't numerous enough to sustain the cafe. Etcher says it's a struggle to even keep the lights on in the winter.
And a lot of people leave, too, during the wintertime, which, you know, and, like, there's still bills to pay. Be hard to just close because I would still have to pay rent. I'd still have to pay utilities. Like, the bills don't stop if you close the doors for a couple months.
Etcher is fighting to make sure her business can stay open in the slow months, but she says it's hard.
I reduced hours earlier this year than I normally do. So in December and January, I usually close on Sundays, but this year I decided to close on Sundays a lot earlier.
But not everybody in town feels the same way. Ryan Naylor is researching tourism in Southeast Alaska for his doctorate at Penn State. He's visited Petersburg several times in the last few years to collect perspectives from locals on the issue. When Naylor reported his findings to Petersburg's assembly this spring, he said that the majority of Petersburg residents he polled said they don't want to cave to tourism.
The types of tourism that are happening here within Southeast Alaska are expected to be able to only occur and grow exponentially within more northern communities. And so I understand that these communities are very much key examples of what Petersburg doesn't necessarily want to be. Biggest quote that I would consistently hear is, we don't want to be Juneau, Sitka, Skagway, or Ketchikan.
And while the on-season brings a lot of money into town, not every business is ready for the traffic. When Glacier Cafe can't lock down the supplies they need to make their popular burritos, Etcher says she loses business and trust with locals.
If it doesn't come in the next week and I get it in the day after my next week's order time, I'm SOL because I have to tell people, I'm sorry, I'm out until next week when I can order, which is another week after that until it actually can come here, which really sucks.
The shortage starts somewhere at the top. Petersburg's main food distributors experience frequent supply chain disruptions during the peak months. Hammer & Weekon is Petersburg's largest grocery store. Jim Floyd is its CEO. He says the dynamic between grocers and restaurants in rural Alaska is a lot different from how it works in the lower 48. They're not strictly competitors.
Here they're actually our customers, so they're our friends.
Hammer and Weekon actually supplies most of the restaurants in town, including Glacier Express. But some of their interests are in conflict, sometimes. While visitors are critical to Petersburg's restaurateurs, Floyd's main customers are locals.
The people that live here day in, day out are our bread and butter, and so it's important to them that they're very important to us.
And keeping all the products they need in stock during the peak months can be a challenge for Hammer and Weekon. Floyd says that's for several reasons, their labor shortage and lack of storage space among them. But it's especially hard to keep up when passengers and crew come down from the cruise ships and wipe out their shelves.
And we're not prepared for that. It affects everybody. For a while, we couldn't get vinegar, which is a huge staple for the Norwegian community, actually.
Floyd says the extra summer traffic means that if they're shorted some product or make a mistake in an order, they run the risk of losing business. And the accelerating demand is hard to predict.
Even though we bring in extra, make sure we have it on hand, we still do run out.
Floyd says Hammer and Weekon struggled to stay on top of demand this year. But he appreciates the extra business and says his team will do their best to ride the wave as it comes.
And I'm never going to turn away because it's money, it's dollars and stuff. And, you know, we do a lot to reinvest into the community. It's important to know that there's some people that don't appreciate tourism, but guess what? It all comes back and it supports us all.
They can't perfectly predict what they'll need at any given time. Floyd says he doesn't have a crystal ball, but his team keeps a close eye on their best-selling items.
But like each commodity, like in frozen, the biggest commodity there is pizzas. You know, we do a good job keeping pizzas in stock and ice cream, of course, because Alaskans love their ice cream.
In the meantime, the company is trying to keep up with the velocity by expanding its refrigeration units. And that's so Petersburg shoppers, especially its ice cream lovers, might not get left out in the cold. From the frozen section in Petersburg, I'm Shelby Herbert.
State economists are predicting modest job growth in 2024 across Alaska in a new report released Tuesday by the State Labor Department. Officials anticipate Alaska employers will add some 5,400 jobs, a 1.7% increase. After substantial job losses in 2020, employment has grown steadily since 2021 at more than 2% per year. Labor Department economist Karina Wiebold says the slightly weaker forecast for the year to come reflects larger trends.
Really, the story here is that we're out of the COVID recovery big picture, and we're moving into this new phase where we're going to be absorbing this infrastructure money that's been coming from the federal government as part of the Infrastructure Act and also the Inflation Reduction Act. And so those dollars we expect to start hitting the pavement this year, and that's going to be one of our primary drivers for growth this coming year.
Construction is expected to add more than 1,000 jobs, an increase of 6.7%. Employment in the mining and oil industry is another bright spot in the forecast, predicted to grow 8.7% or about 1,000 jobs. Economists point to a new gold mine near Tok, set to begin production this year, and preliminary work expected on the Willow and Pikka oil fields. But Wiebold says that as with any forecast, there's a lot up in the air. An unexpected national or international recession could put a damper on tourism numbers. Delays on infrastructure projects could push back construction hiring. But the biggest headwind, Wiebold says, is the persistent labor shortage. There are twice as many job openings as unemployed people in the state.
If we don't have the people to fill those jobs, then those jobs, in essence, haven't been created. So that's really kind of the wild card is, are there going to be the people to fill the jobs in the places and at the times that we need them?
She points to two factors making labor shortage especially acute in Alaska. For one, a large portion of the state's population is aging into retirement. For another, more working-age people are leaving the state than moving in, especially young families in their 20s and 30s. Between 2013 and 2022, the state's population was essentially flat, losing just about 1,000 people. But over that same period, the state lost 30,000 working-age adults and 18,000 jobs, according to Wiebold. About 40% of those losses came from the oil and gas industry, according to state economic data. And Wiebold says even industries like fish processing and tourism that tend to import their workers from out of state could find themselves struggling to hire.
If we can't draw some of those out-of-state workers up here this year because they have opportunities at closer to home or perhaps that pay more, then we could be struggling to fill jobs in industries that regularly rely on that out-of-state workforce.
This is Katie Owo.